Blog Talk Radio.
What is wrong with you people?
Activate.
Can't you be quiet for one night?
Two, one.
What you gonna bring to the table tonight? Give it to them, and I'm gonna give it to you. They don't understand the whole thing.
Ladies and gentlemen,
okay, my name is Edward L. Fairley.
Man up, man up.
This is my baby. Relationships is my passion, my love.
Everybody wants it. There's nobody in the world that does not want to feel wanted or special. I don't care who you are. Now that's something I'm willing to say is a something that everybody.
Out there, one of my close friends and brother, and of course Eddie's friend as well, brother. We got the one and only Mr. Hot Tom Black is online with this topic, and I appreciate it.
Man up!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
To tell it how I see it, because I've been on both sides of the coin.
Those who are checking the show, the Man Up Talk Show, as we try to build what we're doing in this movement. We got my brother, other brother here, Dow Harrington. And welcome to the show as another host, of course.
Man up! Man up!
Now, I appreciate smart. You gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
When you meet people, you wanna know their knowledge. You wanna know their story. What's the backstory? What brought you to this day? And if somebody can help you to achieve that, it would be just totally ignorant.
We are on deck. We want to welcome everyone to the show. Listen to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia. Well, I checked you out earlier. Once again, yours truly, Mr. Nass. And I want to say,
man up, man up.
I think all you men have nailed it, because the fact remains, we can't teach our younger men to become better men if we're being hypocrites. We're being hypocrites about what we're telling them to do. Has been done to me, and I have done them. So I'm speaking from experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's real.
Uh-huh. Everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives them. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No, we want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children, you're talking relationships, you're talking all kinds of things, and it blows my mind, man.
Yo, what's going on?
Good evening.
Good evening. Hello?
Breaking up.
You hear me?
I can barely hear you, sir.
Well, maybe y'all can hear me. What's going on, people?
Good evening, what's up?
Good evening.
Let me take the lead for a quick minute while Naz works out a bug or two. This is Friday night, May 16th. The Man Up Show is on the air. The Man Up Show is on the air. It is me, Big D, down here. Finally back from my hiatus to parts unknown. It's all crazy. Parts Unknown was wonderful. Told me to tell y'all to say hey. Now, my main man, my brother from a different mother, Edward L. Fairley. Eddie, what's going on, man?
Good evening, man. It's been a long while for all of us, I think, man. I apologize for missing you all 2 weeks ago. Sig, she's always protective of me and my business, but my wife, she was sick, but she was hospitalized. She had pneumonia, and it was getting worse by the day. So my baby boy, he had upper respiratory infection when she was diagnosed with pneumonia. I was at the hospital with her that Friday trying to make sure that the doctors and nurses were doing what they were supposed to be doing to get her back in good standing, and as well as taking care of my children while she was out at the hospital. And then after all that and she finally got home from the hospital, I ended up with bronchitis last week. So it's just been a long couple of weeks, man.
Amen. Let's say a big amen to God's healing for your family. Everybody
amen. Yes,
on
sir.
Demand, and everybody's on the way back. That's the greatest news. Everything is about a test. We go through them every once in a while, but, you know, only for God's glorification, plain and simple. Naz, do we bugs out of this day, doctor?
I don't know, brother. You know me. How do I sound, brother? Can you hear me?
I hear you, man, but you sound like you do sound better, a little electronic, but better.
My thing is, am I clear? That's what I'm trying to get out.
You are clear.
All right, amen, hallelujah. Well, first of all, I want to say hello and welcome to everyone to the Man Talk Show. We apologize. We had some technical difficulties and personal situations that was unforeseen, you know, because trust me, people will text like, yo, Negro, where you at? We do apologize. I was on the trip from hell for the job. Anybody was watching me on Facebook, and I was so pissed off because I caught more commuting flights. It was just a mess. And Darryl was in the middle of the political campaign and stuff was going on in Jersey. So it was a crazy week for a lot of us. So, you know, our apologies. But however, we don't believe in missing no topic and no subject because we believe we want to honor mothers last week. We couldn't do it, but moms still get it because my moms, if you don't, I'm going to punch you in the eye. So, listen, we're going to have fun tonight about understanding. All right, what the hell? All right, that's me. You guys got me? All right, that's a little difficult. Fellas?
Yeah, I'm here. I hear you.
Oh, okay. Now, listen. And we're going to talk about a couple of things. We'll talk about understanding this love. We all have our own ways how we, I guess, receive or haven't received or lack of, or how we deal with our baby's mothers. I don't want to say that term, our children's mothers, whether you're married, non-married. It's a whole complexity that sometimes men, we don't address or we don't talk about, or there's a my mother this way, my mom's or my wife or my girlfriend, or even better yet, my daughter as a kid, this is what I think motherhood should be. But, you know, from a male perspective, women talk about these things, but why can't men do? So have fun with this topic.
Yes, sir.
On,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Your week's been a lot. Your week's been heavy, bro. You've been grinding your damn self.
Bruh. Man, okay. Are we going to start with the topic of the show, or are we just going to do a week in review? Well, actually, it could be like a month in review, to be perfectly honest with you.
It's been a minute, Eddie, right?
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. It's definitely.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I have been on, in the last 5 weeks, I've been on three shows for all of maybe the whole 2 hours, all together, collectively. Like 20 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 25 minutes here, there it is. You know what I mean? Then what
that
type of
that problem. Sounds about right.
You know, so
right.
You know, it is what it is. I mean, I could give okay. Go back to about a month and a half ago. Did the NAACP thing, which I was going to do, which I let everybody know I was going to be going for that one. I happened to got engaged on that one though. That I made it official. I asked my fiance to marry me. It was a wonderful thing. It was beautiful. Thank you. October 25th of this year at Metropolitan Baptist Church is where the nuptials are going to be. Come one, come all. As far as the reception, well, you know, if you didn't get it in the mail, oh well, I don't know what to tell you. That's part of life.
Oh man,
catch the pictures on Facebook or Instagram or wherever the hell from the secure location. You know, like I said, you know, everybody who's online right now will be invited. I can tell you that right now. For all y'all who listen, well, you know, in my heart, I know you're with me. How about that? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying. The following week, the pipe in my basement, my water main pipe explodes in my basement, making my basement a swimming pool. You know, I mean, I got old records and laundry and all sorts of stuff just, you know, floating on by, you know. So
wow.
I had to deal with that. Yeah, that was a rough one. That was a rough one. Because I had to have contractors, the city, everybody and their mama. Oh, good news, Jets. Good news. Before I go into my week review and continue on, our brother Tom Lorenzo Reynolds is on the line. Big T, what's going on?
How you guys doing?
What is going on? Stranger,
yes, sir.
What up?
A lot.
Man, it seems like we about full strength tonight. This is what I'm
saying.
Yes, talking.
Sir.
Hey. Ain't like a full strength Friday, baby. I tell you. They say it can't be done.
Hey, but you know what? I'm glad Tom is online. I am so glad. I've been holding this in, letting it marinate. Eddie knows I'm coming from. Man, what the hell is your... Yeah, listen, man. What is the take? I'm sorry, Brother Darryl. I apologize for this. So please, forgive me on this one. What the hell is NAACP thinking about giving that racist dude Sterling the damn award after all those allegations, excuse me, charges against him for racism? I mean, damn.
So, I, you know, I can't speak for whatever the LA branch thought they were trying to do. I mean, maybe they were just like, oh, capitalize on this. I don't even know. But I think that the national office made the right move when they were like, okay, we're going to remove the president and we're going to return any money that Donald Sterling ever gave to the LA branch because we don't need that blood money.
Well, that right there—that's a decent thing to do, right there. Well, I'm going to give it that, yeah. Because you know, it's one thing to say, you know, you're a despicable human being, you're awful, you're terrible, but damn it, I'm going to keep that $100 million. You know what I'm saying?
hold on, back up. Did you say $100 million?
$100 million, yeah. $100 million.
Oh, hell no. I'd have been like, I'd get interviews and deductions. Damn, that is crazy. No, man. Fuck that. Listen, you're racist. Hey, listen, man, I don't like your ass. That's why I'm going to spend this money. I'm going to buy me a new ass into the KKK all with a Legion and shell to Adidas and listen to Fight the Power.
I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, I would like, you know, buy a Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in his name. You know, or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Chicken and Waffles right there. That's what I'm about. Oh, man. or make him like do something nasty with like five African women and video record and put it on YouTube. The Vaseline on his titties or something. I don't know.
Well, he ain't got no problems with the
No, not at all. Not at all.
That's what got him in there in the first place.
Damn! No.
Don't true.
That,
well,
I mean,
so wait, first
true.
that's never been an issue for them, any
no.
kind of racist, whether it be a slave master or anything.
That's right.
They ain't never had no problems with our women. That's
no.
never an issue.
Just us that's, touching their women.
Yeah.
Now look, I heard this explained like 50,000 different ways, but this is the best one yet. Okay, remember, the Donald Sterling shit all took place over Magic Johnson being invited by the girlfriend to the Clipper game. Now, the whole thing is, let's look at this, shall we? Donald Sterling,
okay.
a shriveled up 85-year-old, damn near dead white man. Now, Urban Magic Johnson, a 50-something-year-old, some say he should have been dead a long time ago, but
exactly.
the power of money over certain drugs has kept Magic in perfect health all these years. Because how many
good.
People you know live 23 years with HIV? I don't know many. Only person I can say who lived 23 years with HIV is Urban. But that's another story for another day. Anyway.
Oh, that has to get up. When he said that Magic Johnson hasn't done anything for black people, I'm like... By
yeah,
he's,
yeah.
He's been walking around
yes.
with him for 20-something years.
Yeah. Look here. Bottom line is this. My man is threatened by the Mandingo warrior that is Urban Magic Johnson. Worrying about Magic swooping down, swoop, and hitting that Mexican, you know, that he got doing. What the hell does she need with him when there's Urban Magic Johnson? And don't sell short the Magic Johnson part of our program,
Magic.
I was already there.
You know what I'm saying, motherfucker.
The
Magic
the
bad ass from a long time ago, motherfucker. Don't let that shit be here. That's all I'm saying. So my man went on a racist rant. I don't think necessarily because he hates black people, but he had to have something to shoot at Magic Johnson. Why? Because he's Magic Johnson. That's why.
Right.
That's what he said. Even when he went on Anderson Cooper to try to apologize and try to clear his shit up, as soon as he went to Magic Johnson, that nigga went on another rant. Brand new. Brand faking new. Put his foot back in his mouth. I mean, actually, threw his anal cavity into his mouth, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? I don't know how the black people respect Magic Johnson. He ain't done nothing for black people. I do shit for black people. He don't do nothing for black people. Look at Chris Paul. Look at Chris Paul.
I was like, oh, my
Paul.
God. When he said that, I fell out. I thought. Yeah. See, that's why Matt. That's why Matt is gonna buy.
Man, I tell you, man.
Anyway.
I mean, it's just, you know. I mean, I just, you know. I understand. This thing is going wide right. We're supposed to be giving love to mama. Now we've gone into interracial relations.
I'm sorry.
And the racist exploits of the NBA owner. What
you're right, brother.
Man,
let's get to the topic.
No.
Let's get to the mamas, man.
Back to the mamas, because we can freestyle this one for real. Because that right there,
it's all about the show by itself.
Yeah, you know, matter of fact, we should do a show on Donald Sterling, and we'll name it The Magic Johnson.
Now, you're making him mad, but...
The Magic Johnson. You know, not to be confused with just Urban Magic Johnson, but the Urban Magic Johnson. Going down.
Well,
big shout out to LA and Magic. Magic, hold it down for all the brothers. Let's hear it for Magic Johnson, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Right. That's a bad motherfucker right there.
We love Magic.
We love him. That's all I do. You know, don't want motherfuckers to get an 8-mail about Magic Johnson like that.
So, Brother Darryl.
Yes, sir.
All right, so like, we'll talk about the understanding mother's love. Okay. First of all, I know this may get sensitive for some of us. We, our parents, especially our mothers, taught us a lot. You know, I want to say personally, my salute to your mom's brother. I know it was a rough time for you, but your mom's taught you very well. And our salute to all the mothers who's gone to be our father, our Lord. Salute to you.
Absolutely.
So I want to make sure I put that first. That goes
right.
Because your moms may not be around, it's still who you are as a reflection of what she's all about. Same thing, Brother Eddie, Brother Tom, myself, we are a reflection of our mothers. And then even some guys, there's some that they're a reflection because maybe they seen their mother doing certain things. I think 50 Cent asked us in his raps, he seen his mother kissing another woman, and you could tell he had women. Now, we could talk, because it gets crazy, you know, from mom to that hard love when their moms would make them fight. You know, I don't think there was that hugging going on in your household, right, Brother Eddie? It wasn't a lot of that going on, was it?
No.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, there's different amongst men, we need to explore that. So, I would love to throw the time first, you know, on this one.
You really breaking up now. It's a lot.
So, you know, like when you talk about mothers, I'm gonna fix that now.
Okay.
All right. Well, basically, the question is, we're going off the topic of a mother's love. Last week, we were going to give our ode to mothers for Mother's Day. But due to technical difficulties beyond our control, we were not able to do so because we were here, there, and everywhere. Anyway, so now this week we're looking to go in on this topic and on this issue, and he wanted to start with Tom. But I actually, Tom, hold up. Let me get this off because as all of you know, my mother passed away this past November. This Mother's Day was my first Mother's Day without my mother's physical presence. To say that this was one of the hardest days for me to get through is a vast understatement. Without pouring a love and affection from all my family and friends, I dearly, 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 dearly do appreciate it. Was that void there? It was an unbelievable chasm. I prayed, I talked to God, I had a conversation with my mother. They say you never really know what you're missing until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You have a tendency to look towards something or look at something every day, and because it's in your life every day, you don't have a sense of, there's no sense of urgency. You know what I mean? There is that, you know, Naz is back online. Naz is back online. Hi, brother.
I'm here, brother. Naz.
Hi, brother.
No, hi, I'm
talking about. Like I said, brother, takes the liquor but keeps on ticking. So, like I was going in about my mother. You don't have a tendency, you see somebody every day, and they're in your life every day. And my mother was in my life every single day. Sometimes I didn't see my mother every day, true. But I talked to my mother every single day God sent. We spent about at least 3 to 5 days a week with each other. Every week. All the time. Everything from sporting events to church to God to politics to the weather, music, whatever. We would talk about just about everything. And then all of a sudden, one day, that voice is silenced, and that's it. But what you have is what was instilled in you. For 67
right.
amazing years, my mother was allowed to live on this earth. Anyone
Amen.
Who had the opportunity to meet her was blessed because of it. I was blessed for 46 years to not only have this person put me in this world, but also show me from her perspective the wonders and the mysteries that life has and how it's worth living. And I love you, Mommy. I love you more today than I'd ever have, and I miss you dearly, but I know that I'll see you soon. So that's about my thing.
All right. Well
okay,
said, brother.
That was well said. Well,
hey,
so
talk it out.
A lot of you guys don't know my you know well, the story of my mother, but you know my dad and mom met when they were early in college, and I was I was an accident coming along, but my mom I guess wasn't ready, and before my second birthday she had left. And it was interesting because I sent out an email on Mother's Day to a lot of people, and I was saying, you know, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in your life, no matter what sex they are. You know, for me, especially early in my life, you know, I had my father, it was just my father and I, and then my dad had remarried, and my stepmom, you know, she came from a great family. Her mother became like my grandmother. I still call her my grandmother, still go to visit, so I still love her dearly. But she was a nurse, and it was in the 80s, and she was attacked. She was working at a Christian hospital and was attacked by a patient with HIV with a hypodermic needle, and ended up contracting HIV and passed away shortly after. And so then it was my father and I again. And then, you know, and her mother. And so, you know, for me, my mom at that point became my grandmother. You know, she's the one who, while my father was working or was in school, because he was working on his master's at the same time, I would spend my time there with her. My dad met someone a little later in life and remarried again. And this woman, I mean, she was great. She was a great, but she was, you know, at that point, she was almost like a, you know, a really good friend, but she was also part of the family. But for me, you know, my mother was my grandmother, or still is my grandmother. You know, so when we talk about, you know, the mothers in your life, I mean, I extend that to all the people who took on those roles of caring for you and loving
Amen.
You and you know, just being there for you. You know, might not
Amen.
Have been the woman who birthed you, but definitely the woman who was there for you on the good times and the bad, the one whose shoulders you cried on, and the one who...
That's right.
Brother, you ain't never. Edward.
Yeah, I'm blessed to have many mothers. my mom, my birth mother, has always been considered a father to me in regards to just how strong she's been in all the things that she's overcome, probably
mm-hmm.
the strongest woman I've ever met. And it took me many, many years to actually appreciate her strength and what she actually instilled in me as a mom. But I've often said it's always been difficult for me to find my mother a Mother's Day card, but very easy for me to find her a Father's Day card. I got her both every year because she's been both my mother and father to me. But I've been blessed in this because, and I think it had a lot to do with me always searching for a mother figure coming up, because my mother was so strong and so hard, if you will. I'm not sure if it had anything to do with what she had been through or if she was determined to make me a strong and determined man. I'm not sure. Can never
mm-hmm.
really say. But I always sought out more of emotional and more caring, or in a sense of their actions, females in my life. So I have many many, many mothers who literally won't even allow me to call them anything but mom or mom too or what have you. In that regard, I've been easily adopted as people's moms. I have many, I'm not going to say many, but I have a handful of ex-girlfriends whose mothers just is like, I don't care who my daughter is with, you are my son, and they're consistently checking on me, or I'm in contact with them or visiting them, or they're telling me how, which is terrible, how dumb their daughters were or what have you, to do whatever it is that they had done. But I've been blessed with so many moms or mother figures that every year, which was an odd Mother's Day for me this year, I always cooked for at least 10 to 15 women for Mother's Day and had them over. And I honestly don't even know what sparked it. I personally think, just thinking about it now, it had a lot to do with it being so difficult for me to consider my mom, so I just kind of just spread the whole Mother's Day thing to all moms, especially single moms, and I usually would cook a huge spread and have many women over, and I didn't get to do that this year because my wife was just recovering, and to be perfectly honest with you, had the guy at work that Wednesday not told me that it was Mother's Day that Sunday, it would have slipped my mind. That's how busy I had been this past or previous week or what have you in regards to Mother's Day. But me and my mother, we're very, very distant yet close. I know that probably sounds really crazy. Whereas we don't talk daily, but it's one of those things we just understand and really get each other, and without a doubt, she has my back, or I have her back, and it's been a really interesting relationship between my mother and I, in the sense that oftentimes she seeks my counsel as opposed to me seeking hers, and she unknowingly provides me with counsel with her actions or response to different things with that I may be going through. So I have a very interesting relationship, and I love the fact that it's interesting because it makes it special between my mother and I. And my mom is just probably the most strongest female I've ever encountered in my life, especially through all the things that she's been through, and for her to still be here and sane and still as sharp as she is, I'm proud to call her my mother.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Man, that's some interesting sharing that's going on. If anybody else wants to share and get it on, please call.
Yeah, I got no segment on that one.
Come on, man.
Well, I mean, you know, I kind of can, you know, ride with Eddie on this. You know, I'm not as close as I need to be and should be with my moms. As growing up, being the only male, mostly all sisters in the household, I was relied upon to be, I guess, play the father image at times, despite I had a father in the house. You know, it's crazy because my father, he would do his thing, if you read between the lines. You know, he would do his thing and not really be concerned. So I was a protector, you know. Then with my dad balancing my mom's, I had to be like, you know, mom, I got your back, you know. So
That dude, right.
A lot of that fell on me. A lot, you know, was I sacrificed my career, you know, put things on hold just to make sure my sisters had, make sure moms had, and, you know, did what I had to do. It is what it is, you know. Sometimes when things are bad, I was criticized that you remind me of your father. You know, that song by Prince, Prince when doves cry, you know, when maybe you just like my father, just so bold, you know, maybe I'm just like my mother. So, I mean, I would hear that constantly, you know, and I don't know if it did something to me as I got older, you know, and mind you, like Brother Eddie, I mean, we're not as close, you know, me and my mom's is, but we're close. It's hard to explain it. She knows that I, you know, she calls me. I love my mother, you know, just straight up I do. And I'm there. I'm there. She calls me, I'm on the spot, you know, there. But if not, you know, if I'm not, you know, getting a call or, you know, communicating with her, and that's something I'm working on to become better at, on communication, you know, I don't know. It's something locked in and subconsciously that's caused me not to be as, you know, communicate like I should with my moms. You know, I'm not saying taking it for granted, but at the same time, like, you know, I just don't feel that bond at times. But I know I love my mother. It's hard for me to explain it. I don't even have an answer to it, and I'm trying to work my way through it. So hopefully by the end of the show I can get some clarification and then some direction. And I'm going to lean to you brothers on this one because I need help. Real talk.
I know that's right. Well, I mean, all right, here we go. All right. My relationship with my mother, necessarily atypical either. My mother had me at the age of 21. My mother was she wasn't immature, but she was young, and she wanted to be young. My grandmother, for all intents and purposes, for the first, I don't know, let's say 6 years, 7 years of my life, was primarily my mother. Where, yes, the word mother was attributed to the woman who gave me birth, but the definition of what a mother is was provided by my grandmother. Like, if I scrape my knee, it was my grandmother. I had a tummy ache, it was my grandmother. I was sick, it was my grandmother. Dinner time, it was my grandmother. I did something wrong, my grandmother. Now, my mom would, on occasion, you know, do that too, but everybody knew it was my grandmother. So, my mother and my relationship was, yes, it was very much mother-child, but it also was friend. My mother would talk to me and explain things to me that sometimes you would think in hindsight, maybe you shouldn't explain that to an 11-year-old in hindsight. But for all intents and purposes, it came out okay despite that. So I do understand the, Naz, when you said, you know, you remind me just like your father. Oh, my God. I heard that one time. I heard it a million. I mean, I could be eating eggs. It didn't make a difference what I was doing. If it was a bad time between my mother and my father, understand. Okay, my father wasn't around to deal with the brunt of it because he was doing him. So the only person she had to focus on was me. So, of course, I ate all that shit. All of it. Every last drop of it. Did any of this have anything to do with me? No. Absolutely not. Because, you know, my nigga just had a tendency to, find itself places. You know what I mean? Is that my fault? No. I'm nine. What do I know? I'm nine. Nothing. I know nothing. I am nine. All I'm doing is making my bed. I do it just like my father. I dress like my father. I talk like my father. I do this like my father. Yeah. So, brother, I totally understand what you mean. But, you know... Yo,
yeah.
Say that again, bro. Okay, wait. Eddie, are you there?
No, I'm right.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm here.
Okay. You hear me clearly?
Yeah, we got you clear, brother.
Yes,
Tom, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I hear you clearly. Naz, say something again.
You want to check 1-2.
Okay, you're good. But for a second there, did y'all hear this sort of space, you know, computer vocal? Or was that just me?
No.
It's the chronic,
okay,
bro.
Maybe
it's the chronic.
Maybe it was just me. Maybe it was just my line. Okay, but...
It's the chronic. Smoking the chronic.
Yeah, well... But no, I definitely know of that, you know, where, you know, the sins of the fathers fall on the son. Yeah. That's a true statement. Now the relationship guru of our group, Mr. Edward L. Fairley, maybe you have some insight into why does a son take such a brunt of his
the mother's wrath, right?
Right.
Well said, right? Exactly.
Well, I mean, there's several things that I've concluded with y'all's story, and especially including mine. Well, I was blessed, actually, in the sense that my mom, she protected me from all that, and I'm finding this out now, especially with the whole scenario and case with my father and everything. She never spoke a bad thing about my father, nor did she ever bring up anything about my father. Now, there has been times where she told me to stop doing things, and then when I finally met my father, I saw why she told me to stop doing them, because it was like my father, but she never said that I was like my father. And so I was blessed in that regard. And if she did it, I would understand it. And just like it sounds like I can understand the reason why your mom's did that, and it's because they were hurt. I mean, in the end, they were hurt. It's no different from us being hurt by some ex-girlfriend or what have you. And if we see that in our current woman or girlfriend, we respond to that kind of immediately, or based off of the response that we had with our other mate. We don't say you just like Tanita or Taniqua or whoever we were with before, but mentally we take a note of that, and that girl either gets dismissed or that is going to be an issue in regards to that relationship. Whereas, I mean, our parents, as kids, it's not much we can do, so they're going to say you just like your father, and it's just solely out of anger or frustration that you remind them of someone who hurt them, and that's just their way of expressing it, because they're hurt by what they did or didn't do in regards to their relationship. Not making it right, but I'm just saying I can understand where they're coming from and the actions behind what it is that they did. But something that I do want to address is no different from any other relationship, and I notice, because I even say it, if you notice I've stated, I always considered my mom like a dad. Nas has already stated that his mom, he wasn't really close to his mom because basically he had a mental picture of what a mom should be. Daryl clearly just stated in the definition of a mom, his mom wasn't a mom, that was what his grandmother was. And what that all, we're all saying basically is we all had a mental picture or a definition of what mom is. And to be quite honest with you, there's not really a definition for what mom is. I'm almost confident or definite that if we were all to write down what our definition of what moms are, there would be some tweaks or changes in what we wrote down as to what we felt a mom was. And because of that, we felt like we were shortchanged or our moms weren't moms, and when in actuality they were moms. They were the moms that they were created to be in order for us to be who we are today. And thank God for it, because we have turned out to be great men. So in that regard, our moms were moms and probably the best moms we could ever had, because if we had different moms, we definitely wouldn't be who we are, and we'd probably be jacked up. So it was a lot of things that even in what we saw and experienced as bad, we took note of it and we learned something that made us better men or better people because of it, thus making them great mothers. They took what they had, the information that they had, and what they felt as a great mom or what they felt a mom should do in order to and did what they could or what they felt they should do to make us who we are today. And I think based on the men that I experience on a weekly basis on Fridays, we have mothers who did a damn good job. And for that, we should give them honor, homage, and or whatever you want to call it, because basically what we're doing is we're getting frustrated or feeling like we've been shortchanged based off of a mental picture or a mental definition that we created in our heads, not to mention as children who have not been here before. We just made up in our mind what we felt a mom should be, and when it didn't align with that, we felt like our moms weren't moms. So, again, as I reflect as an adult, just like anybody who's older, when we look back, we can appreciate what was done. I can look back and say that my mom was a mom, and she was a great mom, and I wouldn't trade her for the world. And now, I kind of, in hindsight, looking back, I look at certain moms, and I'm like, what's wrong with you? If you were like my mom, your child wouldn't be going through or doing what it is that he's doing. So I'm really appreciative of my mom. And again, I think my mom created a definition that should have been what moms were about, and in a sense, that just made her just a strong person, not necessarily a person who just went by a mom should be kissing boo-boos or hugging me to make me feel better, to console me. She was a person that was just adamant about building character and making sure that when you did experience something, you experienced it, you learned from it, and you moved on. You didn't sulk in it. You didn't dwell on it to where you're stuck in that situation and not grow to be someone that can take what comes with life and keep on moving. So for that, I thank my mom. For every mistake that she made as a mom, I thank my mom because I learned from those mistakes. So with that, if we look at it or shift our perspective and look at what we felt were mistakes, they were probably the best blessings that we could have had because it caused us to challenge the way that we think and even have a shift in our spirit to say that's not right, to where now we don't do that to our children or whatever. So even in their failures, if you want to call it failures, they were successful because we learned from it and we're better because of it.
That's right. That's right, brother. Thank you. Thank you, bro. You know what, Big Dog? You know what, bro? I just want to chime in. If it wasn't for my mother, well, all those times saying you're just like your father, and then for my sister kind of do the, I call it the home run hit and say, you know what, you know, break the chain, do not be like your father, do not be like your grandfather, that motivated me. It motivated me to be different from who, it motivated me to be different from what I was and how I grew up.
Yeah.
So I try to show it to my sons, I try to show it to my family, and I'm very happy and proud that my mom motivated me to try to bring that to my boy, my young men, and hopefully that they'll take that when they have their families, because it motivated me. Because, you know, my father's father got shot by the shotgun blast because he went inside, he wouldn't mess with somebody else's woman. You know, so that womanizing thing ran through my family. You know, from father to father, you know, stuff like that. And I had to learn a different way. But I knew in order for my son and sons to become better men, I had to break that monotony. So, Mom, I salute you. You pissed me off, but love you to death. But she motivated me. So, yeah, you know, God works in mysterious ways. You know,
Ways.
You know, and it's crazy, man. And I'm going to say this from the heart, fellas. It's crazy because what we envision, what mom should be, apple pie, or what we watch when we see on TV or movies, it may not be that way. Whether your mother, whether however you want to put it, it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether she's a crackhead, whether she's a prostitute on that corner, or whatever she's doing, it's something about her is going to motivate you to become a better person or make you become a better person. Now,
yeah,
not saying you have to take on her bad ways, but it could damn sure motivate you. So you know what? This ain't right. This doesn't even feel right. When I have my daughter, do I want my daughter to be like this? Because my mother didn't like this. So that may motivate your teacher. So you know what? I didn't like what my mom's did or how she was doing it. So I'm going to teach my daughter to be a better woman so she becomes a stronger mother so next generation is affected positively. So, you know, God is very, he's hilarious. I'm real talk.
He's off, exactly.
God is hilarious because he teaches us in our own ways.
That's right.
And when he teaches, we don't know why he does it, but we see the end results. It's like, damn, why do we have to go through the journey? Why can we be like the Bill Cosby's? Why can we be like the Cosby's?
Yes,
no, damn.
Yes,
why we had to go through the struggle? But without struggle or failure, we will not become who we are. We will not get to where we need to get to. Because sometimes I talk to some of you guys behind the scenes. I like, man, why am I going through this? You're like, you know what, bro? You're going through this because you got to get somewhere. You know, there ain't no road that we go through is going to be easy. So, you know, once again, to kind of copy and also be a part of what Brother Eddie was saying and Daryl and Brother Tom, we salute you, mother. Whether it's good, bad, or indifference, you've made us who we are. And, you know, in some cases, some men still have to learn to do, but I believe that God has a purpose for everything, so that's why we go through what we go through. So mothers, we salute you, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, whatever. And even to our brothers out there who've been called mothers, you can add other words to it. That's real talk. God, what's up, man?
Yeah, man.
Sorry, brother. I had to have a kind of...
No. It was a hot tail emotional moment. But yeah,
yeah.
I do agree.
that it is so true that the actions or lack thereof, mm-hmm. it's either going to motivate you or it's going to cripple
yeah.
you. Not yeah. anybody's actions or reactions.
That's right.
Yeah, in the end, if it cripples you, that's not your mother's fault.
That's you.
That's your fault.
That's
so it's a decision that you make. You decide. You can either decide, you know what, I can go through an itemized list of things that because of what my mom didn't do, I was like, you know what, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning from this. I refuse to do that. And there's so many things that I'm grateful that I went through with my mom. A great example of when I was in high school, I learned really quickly that you cannot change people. And because that's when my mother was doing her drugs or whatever, and I wanted so badly to get her to stop to where I took the blame for all of that, or I just put it all on my shoulders. And when I finally got to the point where I said, you know what, I can want what's best for my mom, but she has to want it for herself. I can't take all of this and carry it as if it's mine. She's a grown woman, and she has to make her own decisions. I can want for her. I can pray for her that she makes better decisions or what have you, but I need to stop carrying this as if it's my problem. It's her problem. And when I did that, a serious weight was lifted on me, off of me. And from then on, I just shared what I felt would be better for people, but I moved on after that. It was more. I plant seeds. It's not my job to create rain and all that stuff. All I do is plant seeds. Y'all hear me all the time on the radio. I say whatever I say, and like I don't agree with you. I wasn't asking you to. I just share what I needed to share, and I move on. I don't take on people's issues. I empathize with them, and I'm passionate about trying to make them better. But after I share that passion, that's all you get. I'm not going to sit there and try to change your mind and all that stuff like that. And that came from my mom. That came from years of having to take pills because I had migraines and I can barely keep my eyes open. That came from me throwing desks at teachers because they came at me wrong or whatever, or said something, just having a really short attitude or what have you. All that came from a decision that I made at a young age. A lot of people don't get that until they're old or whatever. There's a lot of things
that's
that I experienced due to my mom's not doing well. And after that, guess what? She ended up stopped doing drugs or what have you. But so it was like there were different lessons that I got from her not doing what I felt was the right thing, but it may have very well been for me. And there's a lot of things that are getting unveiled, especially even now, about my mom that is like, wow, she did that, and she had so much humility and just character about herself that she didn't share it because clearly she just felt that was the right thing to do. She didn't have to boast about telling me about the things with my dad or the fact that that's another thing that makes me and my mom close. I didn't know that my mother, she was determined to keep having children until she had a boy. I was raised, like you said, Nas, with sisters or whatever, and just my mom. But my mom was determined to have a son. She wasn't going to stop having children. So I was playing. and God had a plan for me. And my mother, she ended up getting stabbed 9 times in the back because of me. She wanted me. When my father jumped out of that closet to get her, she had actually escaped from the house, but she left me in the house. So she went back in the house to get me, and that's what caused her to get stabbed 9 times in the back by my father. She cared that much about me that she went in harm's way like a mother would for their child. Just different things, man, that you can just appreciate. And just the fact that she never said a bad thing about my father all these years, especially after finding out all the things that she'd been through, whether it be gunpoint or stabbing or high-speed chases with guns to her head, all that stuff. She never spoke one bad thing to my father, even when our relationship grew and we became a very close friend. She never said a terrible thing, even after he did what he did a second time or whatever. She still said, she felt sorry for him because she felt because if he did it again, he didn't get help the first time. She's just a great being. So all those things I get from my mother. So I'm just very appreciative of who she is and all the things that I've learned from her, either directly or indirectly, or just by her actions, her swagger that I just never appreciated until recently.
Brother, that's a touching statement right there, Eddie. A touching statement indeed. I was about to put Sig on the line, but Sig fell off the line. But Sig was right back on the line when Sig
talking
fell
about
back
mothers.
On the
line. Talking about mothers.
So Siggy, whenever you get back on, you're back on. But we're not back on yet.
No, that's a mother for you. That's a mother for you, Sig.
Now,
I love
now,
her.
Who don't love the Siggy special? But that's another story. That's a whole different other show.
You said that's a mother. Have y'all ever been called a mother? You know what I mean?
Oh, please. Now, I don't think, well, okay. I'll say this. From first-hand personal experience that I know for a fact that me and Naz have. I know that for a fact. For a fact. Not even no guessing. I mean, like, for a fact, heard it, you know. This is true. Yes, Smokey. Yes, motherfucker. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely
that,
been
that
called
muscle.
All kinds
that
of
MS. Yeah. Let's analyze this word for a minute. Well, why that word?
I ain't scared of you, mother.
I don't know, but it works for me both ways.
Holla at
you.
I've been one literally many a times, and I've been one figuratively.
So fellas, when you, I gotta agree with Eddie on this one. So fellas, if you're being called that, say yes, I do.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for the compliment. They look at you like you shout out like yes I am, yes I done, and ask your mother.
Exactly. You know me, I'm very witty with it. I'm like, I'm sorry, you might want to put your in front of that. Or my, since you're the one delivering, say my. So.
Speaking of that, like how's yours doing?
Cause see, that's the perfect entry line with the motherfucker. That's my motherfucker right there. And you go, that's right. That would be correct.
Good response. Good response.
Recognize, motherfuckers. Recognize.
Good response. Like, yes, I have, and yes, I did. And how's she doing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We sorry.
Wait,
we sorry, audience.
Speaking of mothers, it's time for the Siggy special. Siggy, you are on the line.
Gentlemen, how are you?
We talk about being mothers.
Y'all having a good time without me, I see.
Yeah,
no,
we used to have fun with it.
Ago, tried to bring on a little while ago, Siggy. Then going, Siggy ain't here. But Siggy will be back. So that's when all of a sudden fucking mothers came into it. I don't know how.
Oh!
And then we started to go, you know. I don't know what you say, for, because you would have brought it up. You know what I mean?
I know, but you make it sound so colorful.
Well, you know what I mean? It is what it is. Yes, Smokey, yes, damn it.
Yes,
I mean,
Daryl, I missed you. Sure did.
I missed you, Sydney. How are you, darling?
So, how are you guys doing?
We're great.
Uh-oh, Eddie got a regular voice. He ain't trying to sound like Daryl. Why would be all there? Daryl ain't out there stomping the ground, talking about vote for me or else.
No.
Wait a minute.
Where's Tom? Is Tom missing in action?
Right,
did Tom get a raggedy?
No.
Tom's right here.
Tom here.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Always have to start with me.
No, because you don't answer my doggone text. When I text you a question, you answer me immediately. Everything stops for me. Okay, no.
See if you other guys get these texts that she's...
Say what?
Hmm?
Everybody I text answer me. Don't play with me.
Now,
Thomas, I'm going to walk to Jersey and get you.
Wow.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to say something serious. You guys get me started when you first get on the phone. Now, I want to say that I heard part of it earlier before somebody asked me a dumb question. I had to stop and answer. You guys are great. And the world be damned. Whatever your mom did, she did well.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that from the bottom of my heart. I don't say that about many people because many people, I want to beat them and the parent because something happened. But this group of guys, including Tom, this is a great group of guys on
Damn,
this show.
Tom.
Wow.
Damn, Tom.
Plus, I had a chance to harass him in a while, so I had to catch up. But no, great, great group of guys seriously set an example in their communities and everything that they do and the way that they do it and the passion that they bring to it. I applaud that. I appreciate that. You guys are great. And don't let anybody tell you any different. And don't let anybody tell you no matter what your mom did or how she did it, she made a mistake. No, she did it the right way because you are who you are today.
Amen. Amen. I'm about to tear up.
Okay, I can stop the tears. Tell me where you've been and who you've been with. And I don't appreciate it. I'm just saying.
Oh.
No, it's good to hear all you guys together. It's just wonderfully great. Eddie, how are you feeling? How's my little prince?
I'm feeling better. Ezra, he's coming along. He's doing well. He never stopped smiling, really, but no more snotty nose and coughing up stuff. So he's doing much better. Danetta, she's damn near 100%. So everybody's looking. We're on the up and up.
But everybody know that I'm going to Virginia to beat them because they all just misbehaved. They all got it wrong. Everybody got sick. And when my baby was sick and crying, and y'all said he needed to man up, he was sick. So Eddie getting a whooping for that.
He didn't man up.
He had a cold. Whatever, man. He still get the same treatment. You know, I ain't changing.
What did I tell you? That is my baby. Don't play with me.
Whatever. So speaking of moms, do you define moms a certain way, or do you put moms in a to how a mom be kind of category, or do you have like an idea of what moms should be or are?
No, I don't, and I can say this because I tell my kids all the time I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. I check in with them all the time to make sure I'm at least okay with them. Because kids are individual and kids are different, and you need to treat them as different human beings. You need to treat them as individual. You need to embrace who they are so that they can embrace who they are and they can excel in being who they are. That's their personal first empowerment is through mom. Mom cannot put her child in a box and expect for that child to do what she wants them to do. She needs to step back and let the world be theirs. So therefore, I cannot put a mom in a box because I could not put that child in a box because they don't come with a damn manual.
So, what would you say to a child or a person or even a man or a woman who thinks their mom didn't do what she did as a mom based on what they felt a mom should do or should not do? What do you say to them? I mean, are they right? Are they wrong? Or
you can't say that they're right or wrong because everybody's got their own perceptions. Everybody... No matter what your mom did, there was at some point when we all was like, she don't know what she's doing. And it depends on your relationship with your mom, whether or not you were brave enough to say that, you know, like me and take that whooping and pray you can sit down the next day. I told my mom quite often she didn't know what she was doing. And it wasn't that she didn't know what she was doing. It's just I didn't want to hear it. I had my own way of doing things, and I wasn't grown yet. I think if you put your mom in a box and if you're holding on to something that you think she did wrong as a when you were a child, and what you need to do is forgive her, First, forgive yourself for being a sorry, ungrateful child. Forgive her. Y'all talk about it and move on, because holding on to that is going to hinder you, it's going to hurt you, and you need to think about what reflection you're giving to your children, if you have them, or the children that are around you that see the way you act. Yeah, we have parents out there who don't get along with kids, with their kids, even as adults, and they need to all suck it up, say, I love you, and keep moving. Because if nothing else, she gave you a little sorry behind life, okay? And if you did so damn bad, stop making the same mistakes. You're starting your adult life off making the same mistake because you're holding on to that animosity. Don't do it. That will breed into your children. You'll create a vicious cycle that is hard as hell to break.
Okay,
so regardless
that's
of
good.
What she did to you, get over it. Suck it up. Life goes on. Holding on to crap does nothing but hold you back. There's a whole world out there that you can embrace. If you felt like you were wronged as a child by a parent, and there are people who are wronged as children by their parents or as adults by their parents, then what you need to do is, like I heard you guys say earlier, I think I said, you take that and you become a better you.
Mm.
You don't hold on to that. You don't make that your example. You be a better you in spite of. And no matter what they do to you, you still be a better you in spite of. That is still your parents. You still respect them. You may not give a damn about them. You respect them, forgive, and move on.
There you go.
That's all you can do. That's all you need to do.
All
you're
right.
Not putting anybody in the box of what you think a mother should be, because in my mind, a child should do what I think they should do, go to damn college and major in what they tell me they're going to major in and not change their major the last year. But I accept the fact that my kids have their own thoughts in life and they make changes and you keep moving. You don't want to be put in a box. Don't put anybody else in the box. Regardless of what we think a person should be, get to know that person and find out who they are and why they are.
And you know, that's the danger and the blessing behind exposure. I'm not sure if Nas realized what he said a little while earlier. He said, he brought up the Cosby Show. When you have certain things like the Leave It to Beavers and all that stuff like that, that you're comparing your situation to, you can easily think that you got it bad. Anything in life, you're in danger of ruining your life when you start comparing it to someone else. And you can ruin it by thinking that you got it good just as much as you can ruin it by thinking you got it bad. So it's really dangerous to start comparing yourself to things, and it's really easy to do that, especially now with television and media, what have you, whereas had we been raised by our parents without any exposure to any other parents or television or what have you, more than likely we would have felt that we were damn normal. So with that being said, just we have to be mindful of what we allow to sneak into our subconscious mind or influence our thought patterns, and just recognize that it might not be your thought pattern. It might be someone training your thought pattern, and which can really distort or just jack you up. I think we just need to be awareness of ourselves, our thought process, and what we're allowing inside our thoughts, and whether it's influencing us, whether it be basketball wise and all this stuff like that. We might think it's harmless entertainment or what have you, but that stuff is influencing your thought process at the same time as well. I know people that like to read certain types of novels, and they wonder why they don't trust their man or anything like that. But every book they read is about somebody cheating or the man cheating or doing something. So it's really you really have to pay attention to what you're doing and actually ask yourself if you're contributing to what you think is wrong, and is it really wrong? So
that's right.
Because there's no way that as a child we can feel that something's wrong, but for us to just draw a picture of what our mom should be, that had to be given to us by something. And so we took it from something and said, hey, this ain't right, mom. You're supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to kiss my boo-boo because I've seen somebody mama kiss their boo-boo. My mama don't do that. Hold on, she ain't a good mama. My mom ain't shit. So just be mindful that what is for you is for you. And God was intentional with everything. And then you can find good in everything if you're looking at it correctly.
Now, I'm playing devil's advocate. And help me out here. Now, you kind of gave me a segue, big dog. Now, I understand that there's We got mothers out here we learn from. Now let's just keep it real, 100. What is a bad mother? Let's go with that brief list. What is a bad mother? I can tell you for one. It cracks me up all the time. If you got a joint in your child's mouth on Facebook while you wearing lingerie, I'm pretty sure that makes you a bad mama.
If you got a joint in your mouth, oh.
Yeah, I'm talking about one of those big old-fashioned Bob Marley joints. The child's mouth.
Yeah.
And the child's holding up a stack of ones. Now, you know, you won't be on Facebook. That's one thing. But the back of the crib is nasty, dirty. You're in lingerie. What is the message you're sending here? What is the child learning? I'm just trying to figure out. I know we want to learn from the bad things that our mothers them do, but at some point, can you classify certain women as bad mothers?
I don't know. See, I got to play devil's advocate right back because, for one, our generation of mothers, as far as age-wise, has drastically changed. One, so mentally in maturity, in even education, that mom may very well be the best mom based on where her mental capacity is and her surroundings and what she learned, again, based on what she saw, as right. That mom, clearly, if she put it on Facebook, think that it's cool and that she looks like she's doing what she's supposed to do. I don't think anybody in the world, literally, even those who feel like what they're doing is bad, they will intentionally put something out there that's wrong. And if they deep down in their core say, this shit is just not right, and put it on Facebook. No, I'm just being real. I don't think that's how people operate. They either think that they're cool or, yo, you should look at this in a sense of pride and boasting. So when I look at stuff like that, call me crazy, I'm more concerned about the parent than I am the child. Granted, we already know
exactly.
The child is jacked up. But does that make her a bad mom or a misguided, mentally jacked up mom? I want to get to the root and the core of why she is doing what it is that she's doing. And if not, if we automatically just conclude that this person is effed up, then that kills our opportunity to help them because we just already wrote them off as whatever. Whereas if you say, well, damn, what causes this, that provides us more of an opportunity to, for one, for them to be receptive to our concern, and we will give us more of an opportunity to probe and try to get to the root of why she thinks that way and probably try to help her to see how it can potentially be terrible what she's doing or harmful to that child as well as to herself. I mean, she's smoking the L just as much as she's doing, and where the hell did she get them one? So
you know what it is.
You cannot tell me that is not a bad mother. It is. And nobody's saying she's written off, because if she was written off, it would just be making a comment.
People are
posting this crap on Facebook because for the shock value. That's all it is.
It was shocking.
Shock value.
Let's define bad mother. When we say bad mother, are we saying that this person is just intentionally, they don't give a crap about their child and they are they just don't care, or based on their actions they're neglecting the child, they're trifling, and they probably need a little better guidance on how to parent a child, or they were too young and they're just thinking, like you, one of us said earlier, our mom had us young and they wanted to be young, which basically translates to, I still got shit out I got to do. I know I had a child and everything. I still want to do clubbing. I want to do partying, and I ain't got time for this child right now. So let me go ahead and put him to the side. What are we saying? How do we define what a bad mom is?
Okay, it's a difference between a bad mother and bad parenting. I'm going to agree with that.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to define.
Bad parenting is posting that picture on Facebook. I think a bad mother is that mother that's just strictly neglecting her child, where Child Protective Services has come in. Actually, to be honest, all of them should lose their children. They don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
And there are other influences out here besides their Real Housewives or whatever the hell everybody's watching. And what you see on Facebook while you posing half naked with your house dirty and your child with a blunt in his mouth, you need your ass beat. Child needs a damn whooping. Everybody needs to go to jail, including the fool that took the damn picture and posted it.
It probably was the other kid.
Yeah.
If I ever do, it's a Nika.
I'm so done.
I'm
done. I'm
so
done. I'm a very visual person. I can see them saying, stop shaking the damn camera. Hold the camera right, Kwan. You keep
shaking the
picture
at my neck. When everything, when social media, when people started posting them pictures of their kids twerking and dancing when they 3 years old, and I used to get mad, and I used to scrub up and say, I want to be a stripper. You can't say shit because you've been helping her practice since she was two.
Yep.
So
but,
that's
and,
the
and
way
see, that's what
is.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Mentally, they, for one, all right, those things get the most hit. So who's the most jacked up person? The person that watched the whole thing and shared it? Or the mother that posted it and thinks it's funny. So somebody, what is it? Because for one, we talking about the pictures, so we watch the pictures and we watch the tapes. So we sat and we watched those tapes. So was we trifling or terrible parents for watching it or laughing? I mean, and I personally don't think this stuff is funny, and I wouldn't share it. But my thought process is how are we defining when we say bad or bad parent or bad mom. I really want to define that before we just write somebody off as a bad parent, because if you, it kind of debunks or negates what we said earlier. They didn't know what they were doing. If this person doesn't know what they're doing, that's no different from our parents.
No, you know what? No, that's not it, though. This is different because we're in that me society. Forget the rest of the world. I'm doing me. I'm going to do what I want to do. This is my child. You can't tell me nothing about my child. That's the problem with what's going on in the world today. Whereas before, when we grew up, it took a village to raise a child. The village was going to beat your butt, and then your mom was going to beat your butt. And now people want to always say, my child didn't do this, my child didn't do that. The takeaways are just not right. Your child did something in school, you want to go blame the teacher. Let's face it, you got a badass child.
No.
That's the way it is. And so people don't want to accept that own responsibility, and that's why we have young men and young women growing up thinking it's okay to do whatever the hell they want to, and I'm just going to be me. Yeah, you walking around half naked, you presenting as a hoe, but you think somebody's going to wife you. They're not. You walking around dropping a baby here and there, and you think some woman's really going to love you, she's settling for. Because you ain't shit, and she ain't shit, and shit deserves to be with shit. Let's just be honest about it.
And that's where I'm going with this, because I'm being honest about it. And you the same. We sat down with these girls, and based on their low self-esteem, they really do think somebody's going to wipe them by giving it up fast. You think they're giving it up fast with the thought process of, by me giving it up fast, I'm not going to get a husband? I can assure you that they're doing it with the intent of thinking that what they're doing is going to get them that happily ever after or even a good man. This is the sad part. This is where I'm trying to figure out. Are we saying that bad parenting is I'm trying to do the best parenting and based on where my knowledge is and my abilities, this is what I'm doing, and based on what y'all see, y'all think I'm a bad parent, or I just don't give a damn about this child. I'm doing whatever I want to. I ain't got time to be worried about it. Which one is the bad parent? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It's still bad parents. It's the difference between that parent with low self-esteem and don't know no better and that fool posting crap on Facebook just for attention. It's a big difference. They know better.
All right,
don't want to know better.
So what's the difference between somebody that does stuff for low self-esteem, which is which is what they're doing to get attention. They're doing stuff to get attention because they have low self-esteem. So this is what I'm trying to figure out. How do we define what's going on? What is considered low self-esteem or craving attention? I personally think that those they kind of work together. Sometimes they don't, but for the most part, a person with low self-esteem is giving it up real easy because she's trying to get someone or he's trying to get someone and wife them up or be a wifey or whatever you want to call it. They are doing these things with the intent or hopes of getting someone or seeing to align with a vision that they have in their mind. They're not just doing it just to do it. There's a reason behind every single thing that a person does. And if we're not paying attention and trying to figure out why they're doing it, we can't help them to change their thought pattern or their action so that they can get what they're really looking for or shift their thought process in regards to what they think is good so that they can get what truly is wonderful or good to them, good to
That's
and
right.
for them.
Anybody right. whose actions are not in the best interest of their child is a bad parent, and that's my definition.
And
now,
all
I'm
our parents
you,
so far that we talk
no.
about has been, have been bad parents, because my mom has done some shit that has not been in the best interest of my of me.
Hold up, Eddie. Not your personal, mama. This is what I want to do.
That's what I'm trying to define, you know, because basically what we're saying, a lot of things just align with what we've experienced, but maybe not to the extent, but at the same token, like we brought up generations, they weren't brought up where these people aren't brought up in the same time. So different times have different actions or what have you, so and it's reflected. Not to mention, we also, I keep hearing, and I hear this a lot, that, you know, it took a village to raise a child, or this manner of raising people was what made us great, but yet that parenting style is what caused or raised this generation. So where did the thing fuck up at?
I gotta ask the same exact teaching
or parenting that raised this generation that they're complaining about. Those are our parents.
That's true. Dow, you got to answer this one, brother. I need to know your take on this one, man. What is a bad mother to you? Or even if it, I mean, because it sounds like there's definitely some debate on it. Is there a bad mother in your opinion?
In my opinion, is there a bad mother? Absolutely. There's such a thing as a bad mom. Now, a woman who has little or no regard for the welfare of her child, bitch needs to be slapped and is a bad mom.
I agree. That is a bad mom. Because regardless of her what she sees, she knows she's wrong.
Right. I mean, she has little to no regard for this child whatsoever. It's not the fact that she don't know what's wrong. She just don't give a fuck. That's all.
Her child needs new clothes, walking around looking like a bum, and she's taking her ass to get some red weed. She's a bad mother.
Thank you. Can I get a pause for that one?
Hold on, let me loose on this one. If Shaquana goes take the child support money, and if Shaquana goes get herself a weave, some new nails, nice outfit to go to the club, and meanwhile, little DeMarcus and little Marquise didn't get jack shit, and they just sitting there in the house chilling, you know, meanwhile, she's going out.
One damn hot dog.
You know, exactly.
That's right.
One hot dog, a can of raviolios and shit, and she thought that she did something. No. Bitch need to get slapped. Point blank.
Yes. Every sorry ass mama out there don't know what the fuck child support is about, need their ass whooped. And yes, you are a bad mother. You're a bad mother.
As long as y'all, I'm cool with that. I just wanted a definition. Bad mother is a broad statement. Picture with your child, because this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at because you know we made statements like they know that they're wrong. And a great example of what I'm talking about is a good example of it is we just talked about the kids that are twerking and they're sharing the videos and the kids are laughing while they're twerking, right? So if their mother is encouraging that, exposing them to that, when and that is their environment and everybody sharing it and laughing, when does that child learn that this shit that I've been learning is wrong? Which in turn,
if that child run up on
to be their mom.
If that child run up on Siggy, they're gonna learn real quick.
If they run up on Siggy, but this is what I'm talking about. The mental of these people, if they're being raised in that type of environment, they don't know that it's wrong. So when do they learn? And how can we make assumptions or make a judgment based on their actions if they're being raised in thinking that this is right and this is the norm or this
is
what you should be doing?
You know what it is? Because why all of us sorry-ass adults who know this is wrong are laughing, we need to stop laughing and tell the truth. This is not right. That's why I don't share. That's why I don't laugh. And that's why I blast every fucking body that do it, because it's bullshit.
Hold on.
I just want to let everybody know that Oz is online. OZ, you online, baby?
Yeah, I'm here. I've been listening. Y'all are crazy. Crazy.
You know, I'm sorry, you got us. We're a little bit passionate though. We now on the bad bitch train, and we all
you know what?
I'm glad
this was recorded, because Sig's passion just showed how much of a mother she is. She just got pissed over somebody's child, man. That's a mother. Plain and simple. That's a mother.
I love it. Listen, I just want to say something.
I'm the best mother in the world, because my kids will say to me quite often, who says that to their child? And I always ask them, did you just meet me? I don't have good sense. If it come up, it's coming out. I'm sorry. But what I'm saying is, I'm not laughing at that. That's bullshit to me.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't know if you all see the one where the little girl was describing how she walked in on her parents having sex.
What?
Nah.
She's 3 years old. She walked in on her parents having sex. She described it to them. They got her to repeat it so they could put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Those
are straight up bad parents that don't need to have any kids. And
I
the
agree.
Kids that they have, they need to take them.
I agree.
Because if a child is watching, not possibly hearing through a wall, but watching, then it's a problem. If the parents don't recognize that, then the parents have the mental problem, and they don't deserve to have kids, because your child is not supposed to grow up. And that is part of the culture that has turned us at a certain point. I listened to a lot of the stuff that you guys said, and one thing kind of struck me. I remember when we came up as kids, there were mothers that were young then too that still had children. I said, what was the difference between then and now? Because the parents are too busy trying to be the kid's friend versus being a parent first. And because of that, they have become so lax. Everything is so easy. And it ain't that they didn't start out like that and they didn't know. I just think that they just got lazy with it as time went on. And now it's gone beyond who they are. They can't reel it back. It's, you know what I mean? And since it's got to that point, now it's almost like how they had the homosexual stuff started on TV. Before, it was never on TV. You couldn't see nothing. It was a dirty word. But little by little, they started letting a little show get on. And next thing you know, there was another show. Now you got them kissing on TV. Now they're on the stories. The same thing to this. It's the very exact same thing. When we allow these little pieces in our culture to start breaking down and let go of what our parents and grandparents instilled in us, you destroyed us. Or whoever started allowing it, they straight destroyed us. Because we're so far to the left now of where we started, I'm almost afraid for our children are coming up now. Because they're now engulfed in a world that we never knew about until we were older. Now, they're thrust into it as toddlers. They're, you know, being made to see it as infants because of the culture that we've allowed. This is, in a sense, our fault. And on the whole subject of bad mothers, 60% of the women that are out there are bad mothers, more than half. Not saying they're bad people, but when it comes to parenting, if you're a kid, 14, 15, 16, 17, and you don't know how to have. You never had a baby. And your mama was the same age and had you, and she never really learned. It's the blind leading the blind. So by just process of elimination, you're already a bad mother. There are some that make it through the cracks because they have people that are good mothers that show them, and they pick up those qualities along the way because they're around them. But for the majority, most of them are bad mothers. I hate to say it, and sorry, because you got to think, you go from the ones that are in the inner city to the ones that are a little more, that are middle class, that never learn. They try to stay right, but they too busy trying to be bad and end up having babies. And then you got the ones that got money that they just, you know, throw a nanny on. Bad mothers is bad mothers.
There
from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah?
Wow.
Sorry.
That was deep. No. I mean, like I said, it didn't bring us off the bitch train, though. But still, nonetheless.
You're in the bitch train. Yeah, because y'all was going, listen, y'all was going crazy.
Man,
I was a passion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Siggy. It was about the passion. Son, hit that cord, and we done ran with it. That sucker ran. That was a 20-minute rant by four people. That was a 20-minute rant.
That's the one thing. That's the one soapbox we all stand on, for real. So if anybody out there listening got their feelings hurt, I have a friend who always said it, a hit dog will holler. Holler your ass for some direction. If you mad at Siggy, meet me in Atlanta. Let's talk about it.
But you know what?
They can just call
it
to the show
woman.
And they can talk right now.
Exactly. It's a woman. And you know what? It's the women who, the strong mothers who got a problem with the other women. It's the ones that's laughing along with them. Those are the ones who got the issues. That's just my take on it. Because those are the same ones. Oh, that's cute. That ain't cute. What you're doing is wrong, you fucking idiot.
There's nothing cute about it. There's nothing cute about it. I don't like it. I don't tolerate it. I will snatch anybody's child up and wait for their parent. Bring it.
And that's one of the bigger issues, because those are the people that want to still talk and say things about black people, go and find on the internet and then show to the rest of America and to the rest of the world for that and say, look at them. You understand what I mean? That's supposed to be the representation of us for 40-plus million black people in America. The idiot with the girl, the baby that's the stripper, or the one got the videotaping the kids, talking about how mommy and daddy had sex, those are the representatives that they put up for everybody to represent us. And that's not a true showing of it.
It's not. But you know what the sad part is? The sad part, the part that really gets on my fucking nerves, is that is what we watch. And that is why they won't put anything decent on air. And that is why shows like The Cosby Cop, Purity Hell, because, oh, no, that cannot happen. That's not a real family.
Oh, they don't want
if
that.
You,
no,
that's
they
not
don't
a
want
real
that.
Family.
Nah, but, yeah, listen,
they
more over than
strong
listen,
mother.
Listen,
oh, hold
on.
They don't
want
to see
strong but, yo,
anything
more over than that, why
supported.
Are we depending on these other stations? This is just my point. Why are we depending on these other stations to do it? Only in the last probably 10 years have a few other stations aside from BT finally popped up and decided to put on other programming. But they're still – my thing is, why aren't you putting on a program that's reflective of us, that rebuts the negativity? That
because
would
we
be,
don't support the positive until we start saying we don't want to see
nah,
people.
Nah, hold on, I don't believe that.
Hey,
listen,
no,
hey.
Because
you don't have to believe the statement. Just look at the YouTube hit.
No,
the stuff
listen,
that we're talking about being millions
of hits.
The
wait,
stuff
listen,
that's
no,
positive gets maybe
wait,
a thousand.
Wait, well, hold on.
Wait a minute.
Eddie,
oh,
what I'm saying is if you wait, but if you put hold on, but if you put real shows, you I understand like this. There are shows that I find that if I come across, I'm like, hey, this is a good show. It don't have to be negative, but they're so far and few between that people can't gravitate because it's like finding a needle in a haystack.
Because
but that show will get cut off because
sell.
Of rating.
It doesn't sell. It's not that other people won't watch it. We don't watch it ourselves. Think about the hell
exactly.
that George Lucas went through to do Red Tails. Nobody
that's
wanted
right.
to buy it. And the studio
nobody
said,
wanted to check out that.
That
no one wanted to do it. That's right.
Are not going to support it. That man came out of his pocket to do Red Tails. And did it wasn't supported? Hell no. What else came out that weekend and kicked his ass? Didn't make any
sense. Say what I'm saying is you have to understand, and this has been my message from day one when I finally came here. You have to deprogram us as a people. That's just what it is. If we're
no,
only used to, hold on, wait. Let me finish my point. If we're only
right,
used to seeing things that were done from white America, whatever they put out for us, even if we didn't believe that it was authentic, and know that it's not authentic, that's what we're used to seeing.
However, if we start to, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to catch on tomorrow. But when you start to put out your own brand of what you believe we need to see, over time, it will do its job, and the people will begin to gravitate to it. And then as soon as the people leave, come to it, you get all the sponsors, and it'll take off like everything else does. That's my point.
And this is the point we're trying to help you see. There are definitely those snippets or clips or what have you, and this is my challenge to you. Since you're passionate about this, because in the end, the numbers don't lie. I challenge you to go on the Man Up Talk Show fan page and take positive videos and show me three that surpass the likes and the shares of the negative shows that we're talking about. Because in the end, the numbers don't lie. They're sharing the stuff that's ignorant, and that's getting millions of views. And the stuff that is actually can impactful or really can help someone, they're not getting shared, which in turn says that's not what the people want to watch. So what's going to make it on TV?
Wait.
You just told me to listen to you. I sat and I'm quiet. I will finish. I'm not far from the end. But in the end, the numbers don't lie. The ratings are what's going to keep the stuff on TV. As far as documentaries and stuff like that, that is what's going to keep it on TV. So if you don't have the numbers, the stuff doesn't sell, and they're pulling it. And it's showing on, like I said, your shares, your YouTube hits, and all that stuff. That's basically how they're making their decisions in regards to what's on TV now, by how many hits and stuff. And I'm done. The numbers don't lie. If you can show me three or four that surpass the likes and shares, then I'll buy your theory. But as of right now, that's not what the people want.
Hold on, I'll say this.
If you can't
when
get them to watch them, they ain't going to grow from it, and they're not going to like it.
But hold on, I'll say this. When it comes to ignorance and shock value, that has no color barrier, has nothing. Anybody that puts ignorance or shock value things on TV, you're going to get anybody to just, even if it's for a glance, to click on and be like, oh, that was totally dumb. Versus, you know, along with the people that's like, oh, I love it. You're going to get both sides that might click it to see what it is. But the number's not reflective as to how many stayed and watched the whole thing. All it shows is that somebody clicked on it. What I'm merely saying is...
The fact that they shared is showing how many stayed and watched the whole thing. They wouldn't have shared it if they didn't like it.
Wait, but that's a different...
You don't share unless you like.
Wait, but that's a different thing because I've seen things that come across my Facebook and was like, and the only reason I can say this is because they had a little girl that was on there twerking. I seen it and was like, this is dumb. I said, I don't even believe somebody put this on there. And I didn't go any further than that. It was like the minute I recognized, I said, this is the kid, I stopped it. I didn't share it. I didn't like it.
That's my point. You only share when you like. You don't share something you don't like. You share what you like. So, again, that goes back to the numbers proving that
Wait, because that's not true. Because I've found people that have went on Facebook and said some truly ignorant things. And if you guys are on my page, I share it. And in the part where it's talking about me, you'll see my comment. Especially
so you're giving
that,
it momentum. That's dumb.
No, it's not. But it's
why would
insane.
You make more people look at ignorance and get more ignorant by what you shared, especially
Number one, if they don't know it's there, they don't have they don't know how to say, listen, this is wrong. And you have to understand this. If more people see it and say, yo, this is straight wrong, people will start to be like, yeah, you know, it's wrong.
No, you gave it power. You gave it power. If you want to get rid of something, you don't give it power.
You don't support it. When you click something and you share it, whether you agree with what it is or not, you just shared it, so you supported it.
Not entirely, because if the comment that you put is negative, hold on, I'm just saying this. If the comment that you put is negative, yeah, more people saw it. But more people are saying, this is totally and completely stupid. And the more you hear that, yeah, more people are going to see it. But more people might take the same vantage that I took and said, yeah, this is wrong. It should be off. And that's where you get those people that go to Facebook and say, yeah, I don't want this on here because of this video did blah, blah, blah. And they take it off.
You understand
right,
what I mean?
I understand what you're saying, but let's go ahead and say let's play that game. Say that people do receive it like you. You're willing to chance those for one that don't read, who rarely read. They're more often going to just click the video before they read anything and call with their own opinion. So you're willing to chance that somebody might read it and adopt it as, dang, this is interesting or this is funny, let me share it, instead of just saying, let me stop this here or make sure no one sees this, and potentially get somebody that can be hooked or linked into seeing this ignorance and adopt it as something good or cool or fun and pass it on to somebody that's going to read it the wrong way. Why would you change that? You're helping the whole thing. That's kind of like when Oprah had her thing. She felt like she was helping people see how ignorant the KKK were, but all she did was give them momentum. Who does not succeed when they go on an Oprah show? So she learned in a bad way that by giving it that kind of attention or publicity, it actually gave it power. So
I can understand that
too. By you sharing it, especially if you are a respected individual, just by you sharing it, people might look at it just because you're the one that shared it. Now, whether your comments say that this is dumb or not, you still shared it.
You know what?
This
is true. When somebody posts something that I think is offensive or negative or whatever, I read the caption rather than watch the videos or whatever. And I know that in any of the groups or anything that I'm in, if I say something negative, that'll shut it down. And I always come in, I say something very passionate, very tricky, and very negative, and it stops the comment. But people go, oh, that's funny. It's not funny. It's just ignorance. And so, and I don't share. If I want to bring attention to something, I'm not going to share that. I'm not going to keep reposting anything. I will caption something, and I will write my little quip about it, and I will go from there. But I'm not going to keep passing something along because it gains momentum because of the hits that it's getting. Every time you share, that's a positive for that thing. No matter what you say under it, the share itself is a positive for it. It's what gives it momentum. It's what makes people get drawn to it. If you think we're joking, post something positive and post something negative, and you will have maybe two comments under your positive, but you'll have 3 million under your negative.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. And in the end, just like you've seen it all the time as far as these YouTube hits, is a certain amount of hits that if you have that many hits, you will make it on TV, Ellen DeGeneres, or even have your own show or video, whatever. We've seen the shows or say, a good example, Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife. That was the most ignorant, dumbest mess that I could, oh, my gosh, I was so mad at when that thing went viral. But it made music, it made money, and it was ignorance on our part. So he made money, and he looked like, and still didn't know that what he did was ignorant, and they weren't laughing with him. They were laughing at him. But he made money because we supported some ignorant stuff, shared it, and looked at it, and he got a whole bunch of hits. And he didn't get the hits because it was good. He got hits because it was ignorant, and everybody was laughing at us as black people. And
yeah,
to bring us back to what we're talking about, this is what I want to make sure that us as mothers, or mothers in general, I can't say us mothers, I'm not a mother, but if we are contributing to terrible stuff and we don't want to consider ourselves bad mothers like we've been talking about, then it has to stop with us or our household, and we have to instill the good stuff or the opposite of what we don't want, as opposed to pointing to the bad things that we don't want and letting them be exposed to it. Just make sure we're enforcing what they should be doing so that they're not even thinking about that ignorant stuff, and to where when they see it, if they do see it, not by you, they feel uncomfortable and it just does not even feel right to see it or pay attention to it or partake in it.
You know, That was, I'm just going to say that in a perfect world, exactly what you said needs to be done. But that's almost like telling black people, don't use the N-word. I ain't going to sit here in front and say I don't use it. I could stop using it, but you know how hard it would, truly hard it would be to get the entire community to stop saying it. That's how hard I think it is, it would be to change this whole genre of bad mothers, this culture that's been created of bad mothers, because they wasn't like that before.
then your whole mission is pointless. Based on what you just said, your whole mission and everything you do on a daily basis is pointless. If you think it's impossible or you're
not
willing
saying,
to...
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying it's going to be without a movement, and I'm talking about entertainers, celebrities, the community activists. It will take a complete effort. Everybody has to be sold out on this. That's what I'm saying.
Let me tell you something, man, and this is just straight up out of love. This is where you fall short in the movement. First of all, in order for a movement to take place, there has to be movement. And it always stops with words with you. I don't get any movement, and I need movement. And the second thing I want to say is every superstar that you're talking about that needs to jump on board, they weren't superstars before they were superstars. Everybody is a nobody before they're somebody. So what you need to do is make yourself a somebody through your movement and then make a movement so that you can make everything that you're talking about come to fruition. Because you're looking for somebody, people that are somebody in your mind, which in what you need to do is make yourself or consider yourself a somebody so that people can look at you as such and follow you on this movement of passion or change so that you can make something happen based on your visions, your views, and everything, and we can all change. But we're not going to change if we keep thinking that people that we think are somebody outside of ourselves are the ones that have to make the change. Everybody, and I repeat, everybody that we think or assume are somebody's, we're nobody's before. So the whole somebody's excuse is irrelevant because everybody that's a somebody was a nobody. They made themselves a somebody, and the reason why is because they thought they were somebody before somebody told them they were somebody or they got with somebody, quote-unquote, had. So what I need you to do is stop talking and to have the movement be a movement, start moving instead of, and not just your mouth, through your work, to your actions, whether it be workshops or whatever, and stop giving yourself excuses on why it can't work and start small, and then a movement can take place, kind of like the man up movement that is taking place now, and then we can then change can take effect. And it might be just small wins in the beginning, not the big ones that you want, but they're still wins nonetheless, and those wins just keep getting bigger, and they keep on growing and growing until you look back and say, damn, what happened? And you see what it is that happened. It was a movement that you thought, you being that nobody that you currently think that you're not, happened as you become that somebody that you knew in your heart of hearts you could be or you thought you needed to be in order for it to be done. And then you can step back and say, look at God. Look at God who made me a nobody, a somebody who did something that was worth doing for our community and the world. And I'm finished.
But Eddie, you're preaching to the choir. All that stuff you already talked about is already being done. It's already in the works. Those things
are
already...
Then why are we talking about it then? Then it's irrelevant.
No, it's not irrelevant. But you have to keep it in the people's face because out of sight, out of mind. If you don't keep telling people about certain things until what you just expounded on becomes larger, they forget about it. That's just the nature of how people are. You know, I mean, it's not like they're doing it on purpose, but if they ain't seen it or heard it in a month, then they don't, you know, they on to the next thing. But I continually reiterate things so that people, they know that this is my message. This is what I'm on, what I do, this is how I feel, period. That's all.
Now let me just interject at this moment. I mean, it appears that we could definitely go on and on about this, but yeah, but we're coming to the tail end of the show because, you know, we always get passionate what we do here at the Man Up Talk Show all day. D, you good?
Yeah, yo.
No.
I'm just
okay, yeah.
Very,
very spirited dialogue. Definitely. But, you know, we come to that time where we got to do as far as the final end of the night comments because we want to make sure everybody can chime in. So
yeah.
I would like to start with ladies first, of course. The lovely Miss Signature, you got any closing remarks for the show? Siggy.
Signature.
Tom, don't make me slap you.
Don't you start.
She still zoned out.
I know, okay. That's what I said. We're doing closing remarks with
you. I had to mute myself because they were killing me. Seriously, great show. I would love for I would love to see all you guys in the same room. That would be a hell of a conversation for a week. I like that. Well, then again, no. Ladies, mothers out there, people who have mothers and you think you feel in some kind of way about them, about your mom, get over yourself. We as black people, we as women, we as mothers need to understand that we need to stop propelling, perpetuating, supporting the negativity. Stop bringing problems to the table. Bring me a damn solution. Bring me an action. And then we can see something happen. Stop looking and pointing fingers at why is she dressed like that? Why is she acting like that? Have a conversation with her. Get her fixed.
Definitely. Let's sing this over to Brother Tom.
Hey, you know, I always like to remind you guys, we got an election coming up in 18 days. So in Jersey, get out to vote. Remember to vote. Vote early. Polls open at 6, 18 days away. And if you're down in the Trenton area, you've got a big race going on. I'm personally supporting Bonnie Watson Coleman, so get out there and vote.
Okay. Well, we keep it swinging around. I'm a comment, I think, down. Of course, we know we got to say Brother Eddie for last, as always. You know, my thing is I want to say thank you. I appreciate all the mothers out here. You know, my lovely wife, my children's mothers. Appreciate you guys. And, you know, for those mothers out there who are still trying to find their way, I pray for you. I think that's the best thing I can do for you. So I pray for you that you know and protect your child. Your child didn't ask to come here. But you got to put them in a position, in a situation where it's going to help them succeed. That's the best I can tell you. Yeah, there's no book to being a perfect mother, but try to keep out of harm's way. Try to do what's right. And hopefully, you know, this journey will be a good result. That's what I have to say.
Anything before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I just want to say to everybody that's out there listening on the Man Up Tall show, the program that we're having right now is called Expecting Moms. On June 7th, we're going to be giving out clothes for moms that have children, for babies. If you want to come, you just got to come sign up. It's free. The place is going to be Sardis Temple Baptist Church. The address is 506 18th Avenue in Newark. And we'll be there from like 10 in the morning until everybody stops. So
that's
we hope to see y'all out there and just come through. These are those baby steps.
Exactly.
There you go.
That's awesome. Thank you, man. That's awesome, man. That is wonderful.
That's a beautiful thing. Give me two words in real quick. We have talked everything tonight from bad mamas, good mamas, mamas with love, and, of course, the Magic Johnson. We have covered it all. So, everybody have a great week, a great weekend. Like to say happy birthday to Miss Janet Jackson. Could have been you, girl. Could have been you. Let you know I'm thinking about you here. So, all I have to say is good night, God bless, and can't wait to see everybody next week. Eddie, wrap this up.
Yo, real quick, man. My challenge to you is to not define or put mothers in a box. So make a definition for your mom. That may very well be the reason why you think your mother was not a mother to you, because you tricked yourself into thinking that you don't have or didn't have a mother or even a good mother. Please shift your perspective and know that God doesn't make mistakes, and who birthed you was intended for you, and if you take the time to learn the lessons that were to come from that person, you will be the best you that you were created to be based on that mother that you have been granted. Please be mindful that just having a baby does not make you a mother. It's having the intent of making the doing the best for that child that makes you a mother. You might fall short based on your education, your knowledge, or your social background, or whatever reasons you fall short of being what you feel is a great mother or someone else feels is a great mother. But if your intent is for that child to have the best and be the best and become the best based off of what you know and what your knowledge is, that makes you a great mother. And we thank you, and we love you, and we appreciate all the mothers out there. God bless. Y'all take care. We love y'all. Peace.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely. Love is always love. That's a wrap.
Well, until next week, good night. God bless. Mothers, we all love y'all. Thank y'all for everything that you've done for us. Until next week, remember, the Relationship Show comes on this Sunday. What time are we coming on there?
Well, we're doing a special 4 o'clock show. We do just this one time. 4 o'clock, you can come check it out. It's going to be yours. Nice, smooth joints and pillow talk with Lady J.
Okay, so we got that. We got that on Sunday. Monday, we got Game Strong at 8 o'clock, followed by Siggy. Every woman this Tuesday.
Good show. Good show coming up, by the way. Good show.
We're going to talk about adoption and foster care.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's a strong show. The strong show.
That's something that we can't miss out on. And next Friday, who knows what the devil we talk about? But we talk about all the magic times. But there's no telling what we gonna talk about next Friday. I'm just tell y'all just stay tuned. So for Hosh, for the Lacey, for Tom, for Nash, for Eddie, for me, for Siggy. Good night. God bless. Mothers, we all love you all so dearly. Good night.
Good night. Later.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than us, a little kid. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day, running from the police. That's right, mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Mama, Mama.
Shadow, World, Radio.